jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I just want to thank the Lord for who he is and what he does. And my wife, I woke up this morning, my wife was reading a scripture to me, and I kind of heard it in one ear, and I didn't listen to it real closely. And then when I ran back upstairs a few minutes ago, she said it to me again. So I think it was in Luke 7. Is it Luke 7 up there, Michelle? See if she stamps on the floor and says, yes, Luke 7. But I want to encourage all of us today. Let us not forget the power that we walk in. Let's not forget that, the Holy Spirit power that's available to all of us. And you know, again, when last week we were doing some of that teaching on the Holy Spirit, we lose sight of that power that we have inside us. I thought it was in Luke 7. I'm sorry if I hesitate a little bit here. But Jesus said, I give you power to tread on scorpions. Where was that, Michelle? Scorpions and all the power of the enemy. All the power is, she's going to come down here and tell me, I think. Maybe she didn't hear me. Luke 10:17. I want to read that to you here this morning, guys, because this is us. This applies to us. And this is going to become more and more, we're just going to need this. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Wow, that's right there. Be something to celebrate over. And then he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Wow. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Let that encourage your heart today, man. Let that encourage your heart. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have troubles and tribulations and problems and whiny moments and oh, why me moments. It doesn't mean any of that. But the power, the idea that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that if you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, that doesn't mean that God is going to necessarily bless what you want to do. When what you want to do aligns itself with the word of God, you can do anything that you want to do. Wait a minute. The will of God, not necessarily the word of God. When what you want to do lines up with the word of God and the will of God, you can do anything. What happens to us is we get something that we want to do, and then we ask the Lord to bless what we do. And that's not the way that it works, see. In fact, that's where a lot of people kind of get shaky in their faith, because they turn to the Lord, and the Lord doesn't give them what their pastor or some TV preacher told them he's going to give just by confessing the word. Confess, all power is given unto us both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. So we know his promises, that he's always there. But his job is not to bless our prayers. Okay? Does that make sense? I've got something exciting coming up. I'm just going to give you a fair warning. You're not going to want to miss Monday. We're having Pastor Charles Jennings from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Personal friend of mine, George knows. George has, in fact, set it up for us. Pastor Charles Jennings is going to join us, and he's going to explain to us how the gospel of Jesus Christ went around the world. And we're going to find out that it didn't go around the world through those group of people today that we so honor, known as the Jews. I'm, again, listen, I am not Jew bashing. Praise the Lord, all of you out there who have been praying for me. I haven't got one negative comment from anybody. I haven't got anybody yet calling me. Oh, I was something on the Right Wing Watch yesterday. Right Wing Watch posted something about, I said the Jews are Christ hating or something like that. But anyway, other than that, I haven't had, I've not received not one negative comment. And here's what pumps me up. I think we're just going back and we're uncovering stuff that we just didn't know. And as I asked the guys on the queue here before we got really rolling here this morning, how many of it could give us the names of the 12 tribes of Israel? Most guys can't. We can't. So since we can't even identify that, is it any wonder that we end up being so confused? Now understand this, that the 12 tribes were a family. You guys have a family tree, don't you? You have a family tree. And I was talking to Michelle when she and I went for a walk last night. I was talking to her about just my lineage, my family tree. I can go back maybe to my great-grandpa, my great-grandpa George. I couldn't tell you anything about on my mother's side, my great-grandfather on the other side. And so that's as far as just perfect human knowledge about my lineage is, I don't know. I could go to ancestry.com maybe and figure it out. But when the nation of Israel was formed, remember, they wouldn't get the perfect seed. They wouldn't get Jesus through. This Redeemer chose the Jewish people to take Jesus through. We saw the 12 tribes. They're all one family. They were all one big, happy family. And God's command to them was not to marry outside of the family, outside of those 12 tribes. Don't marry outside of those 12 tribes. Well, they did. In fact, he gets mad at them several times because they did. But the perfect seed was able to get through the union of Joseph and Mary. The lineage of David was able, David as the king, priestly king, Jesus was the lineage of David. But what happened then after Jesus was born and made it, the lineage, the perfect seed made it through, guys, listen, at that point, bloodline became almost moot. In AD 70, they were dispersed. The temple was torn down. Jesus did away with that old religious system. He said to the Pharisees, there shall not be left standing one stone upon another. He was talking about an old religious system, that the purpose of that religious system and the purpose of the Jewish people were to bring the Messiah through, as it had been prophesied for thousands of years, that the perfect sacrifice, the Messiah, would come through a Jewish bloodline. And it did. But after Jesus was born, the Jews were dispersed. And when they were dispersed, what happened to them? They began to marry outside of the family tree. Well, they had to. Why? Well, they were dispersed. They weren't just all together. Is this making sense? Is this making sense to you guys? And so today, in 2017, it is impossible to find a complete and total pure bloodline Jew. Now, wait a minute. Impossible, that's a big word. There might be somebody out there. But there aren't very many bloodline Jews left. And we showed yesterday, we talked about the diaspora and the Ashkenazic Jews and the Khazar Jews and the dispersion, and the perfect bloodline is now gone. Why is that important? Well, it's important because the new priestly bloodline is the bloodline of Jesus. Anyone who gets adopted into the family of God is now part of that pure bloodline of Jesus. You've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but not you. Christ lives within you. And the life that you now live, you live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for you. You have been adopted to the point that you now have the holy, righteous blood of Jesus flowing through your veins. That's hard for us to understand, but that is the truth. We are adopted into the family. And I don't care if you're a Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a pagan or whatever. There's God's no respecter of persons. Anybody can become part of this family. But if you don't receive the adoption of Christ and accept the blood of Jesus, you cannot be part of the family. And if you're not part of the family, then you are not part of the royal priesthood and the lineage of Jesus. Somebody help me out here. Did I make that clear? Does anybody have anything to add to that? That's why I think it is so important for us to understand what I believe to be the false teaching that there's something special about Jewish lineage. That I'm not bashing the Jews. I'm lifting up Jesus. Let everybody see that we are now in his family. His blood has purchased all who will come. Can anybody rescue me? Anybody have anything to add? You don't have to. I'm always amazed at how little we know. I'm talking about me. I started doing some research for this study. Hey, Jared, I'm in Mark 7. I'm in Mark 7. Because it's going on today. There's nothing more that the world... Think about this, fellas. Please, think about this. There's nothing more that the New World Order desires. You ready? Than a one-world religious system. Religion. Hey, Jared, I'm going to pull a fast one on you. Google real quick, Jared. Religion. The definition of religion. I asked yesterday whether Judaism was a race or a religion. Remember that? And we had some confusion on it, but I say Judaism is a religion. Now, what is religion according to the dictionary? Got it up there on the screen. Religion is the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. A particular system of faith and worship. System, don't miss that. A pursuit of interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. Go down to Merriam-Webster there, Jared. Click on that. What's it say? Religion is the state, I hate when I do that. The state of a religion. The service, listen, and worship of God or the supernatural. Commitment or devotion to religious faith or observance, a personal set of institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. 3, scrupulous conformity. 4, a cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor or faith. In other words, guys, Christianity is a relationship, a family that we turned into a religion. Did you get that? See, when they say, well, he's religious. Well, they say, well, he follows a bunch of rules and regulations. That's what religious people do. And what do we see happening now in this day and this hour with all of these different religions or different set of beliefs or different belief systems out there? What do we see happening now? Well, we're trying to see everybody coming under a one world religion. All the religions are out there, and you know, we want to make everybody happy and everybody get along, be tolerant and diverse, so everybody's going to believe this religion here. This is going to be the religion. And what is that religion going to be? Government. One world religion is going to be government, because religion, for the most part, is bondage. Somebody give me a thumbs up so I know I got a friend out there. The following of religious rules and regulation becomes bondage. Okay? And Jesus came to destroy it. He came to destroy it. That's why he made so many enemies. Because he comes, he says, I'm going to do away with this crazy religious system that you guys got, and you're making all these rules and regulations, and people can't follow them, and the ones who do follow them think that they're going to get to heaven because they're following rules. And he said, you can't get to heaven by following rules, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy this system. I'm going to destroy this temple. I'm going to destroy this system, and then you're going to be dispersed throughout the world. This is the way I read it. I didn't go to cemetery, but this is the way that I read it. So I'm in Mark 7. Is that what I said? Because listen, let's just follow what Jesus says here. Mark 7, pull that back up there for me, Jared, if you will. Verse 1, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Okay, now we know what the Pharisees were, right? They were the religious leaders. So the religious leaders and the scribes, the ones who are keeping the records of it, they come to Jerusalem. No. They came from Jerusalem. Jesus is out of town. They come to Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled That is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Hey, guys, religion always finds fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, they don't eat because they hold the tradition of the elders. Underline that in your Bible. Hey, Rich, we're still following the tradition of the elders. We still are here in Christianity. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they don't eat. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of all the tablets, tables. And the Pharisees and scribes said to Jesus, okay, you're such a righteous guy, Jesus. You're such a holy guy. And you're raising up and you're preaching all this Old Testament stuff to these guys. Hey, let me ask you this, Jesus. Why walk not you, your disciples, according to the tradition of the elders? There's that word again. But you eat bread without washing your hands. They're finding fault. So, Jesus, you're so righteous. How come you ain't following? How come you're not doing this? We do it. We're more righteous than you. We wash our hands. And he answered and said unto them, boys, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, that the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain, that means for no purpose, howbeit for no purpose do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men. There it is, tradition of men. As is the washing of the pots and the cups and many other such like things that you do. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God so that you can keep your stinking stupid rules and traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let them die the death. But not you. You say, if a man shall say unto his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be okay. They add rules on to what God said, or exceptions to what God said. Verse 12. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. So you let him get away with denying that commandment. You make all kinds of rules on your own, but they get to not follow that tradition. And when you do that, verse 13, you make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things like you. Now watch this. And we called all the people unto them. He said unto them, listen, boys and girls, and understand, there's nothing from outside a man that enters into him that can defile him. In other words, you can eat pork if you want, I think. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I'm telling you this. He said this specifically to the Sadducees and the Pharisees to try to expose the legalism and the law of the tradition of the elders. I was going to go down and read this whole thing. Verse 23. Let's do it. Let's go to 20. That which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. From 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from inside a man. That's what defiles him. With me? So we could go read another place where Jesus is sick and tired of the religious. That you're building a religious system, and I am against that religious system. Cool. Anybody got a comment to make? Don't have to. Just always want to pause in case somebody does. Okay, Jared. Let's go to about the fifth one down. It says, what is the religion of the elders? This is out of Wikipedia. Now, I don't always trust Wikipedia, okay? Is that what I brought up there? I might have brought up the wrong one. Okay, well, the Talmud is, in Jewish religion, is the religion of the elders, the Talmud. Okay? I just want to read through this real quickly so you see. The Talmud is instruction and learning from a root, is a context text of rabbinic Judaism. It is also traditionally referred to as the Shas, a Hebrew abbreviation, the six orders, a reference to six orders of Mishnah. The term Talmud normally refers to, listen, to the collection of writings named specifically the Babylonian Talmud. And although there is also an earlier collection known as the Jerusalem Talmud or Palestinian Talmud, when referring to post-biblical periods, namely those of the creation of the Talmud, the Talmudic academies in the Babylonian Excellerate, Jewish sources use the term Babylonian long after it had been obsolete in geographical terms. Okay, here's what I want you to see. We're deceived. The Talmud is the religious teachings of Judaism. It's the rules and the regulations and the interpretations and the commentaries. So it's my understanding that those who are following rabbinic Judaism aren't following and studying the Old Testament, which is what we have been taught to believe. The Jews follow the Old Testament. They follow the Talmud. And what is the Talmud? Which, by the way, existed from about 200 years BC, the Talmud. In the time of Jesus, Jesus said, listen, the tradition of the elders, Jesus was against the tradition of the elders. What is the tradition of the elders? It's the religious system contained within the Talmud. God, I'm not a biblical scholar. You guys getting what I'm saying? The tradition of the elders. Jesus said, no more of that crap. No more of that. And he destroyed it and he dispersed them. He said, don't be doing that. And what are they doing today? What are Jews still working out of today? The Talmud. See, we think that they're teaching out of the Torah. What's the Torah? The Torah are the first five books of the Old Testament. Sorry to be so dry, but it's important we get this. When we say Judeo-Christian, oh, that comes from our Judeo-Christian roots. Well, it may come from our Judeo-Christian roots, but see, we Christians, we think that when Jews go to their religious celebrations, we think that they are studying the Old Testament. We think they're studying the same thing we're studying. They are not. They are studying the Talmud, the religion of the elders, which Jesus came to destroy. And so part of the confusion that we have today in modern Christianity is we think these, God, Lord, help me here. These non-bloodline Jews are our spiritual lineage. George, am I saying that right? You guys understand what I'm saying?
They're the ones that really control the heart and soul of this nation as far as the politics, the entertainment, the banking, all that stuff.
See, George, now you sound an anti-Semitic. See, as soon as you start pointing out this truth, then they begin to call us names, right? We're not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Semitic, but I'm going to tell you this. And the Jews know more special than the Baptist, in my mind. The Jews know more special than the – without Jesus, a Jew's just a person in my – because remember, Judaism used to be a race, and now it's a religion. Go ahead, George. I walked on you.
No, that's good, Coach. I mean, the truth is the truth. I mean, we can get called whatever, and that's no problem. That comes with the territory. But if people study who controls this country, they'll confirm exactly what you're saying, I believe.
Okay. So, again, if you see somebody from the Middle East, they don't look like me. You see somebody from the Middle East? They don't look like George. That's because that was a different race of people, okay? Jews were born into the Middle East, a race of people, 12 tribes. We see all that now. So therefore, they had the same, they looked the same. But when the diaspora took place, now you will see Jews who look like me, who look like George, because they were not bloodline Jews, but converted Jews to the religion of Judaism. So somebody do this if you're following what I'm teaching, where I'm going here. Okay. All right. So Judaism went from being at one point, I don't know why this thing's powered down on me. At one point, it went from being a race of people to a religion that people follow. Gotcha. Good, good, good. Okay, coach. Let me get my computer up and running here. So knowing then, wouldn't you expect the Jews, Dylan, wouldn't you expect the Jews on Sunday to be in there opening the Old Testament and studying the Old Testament? Isn't that what you always thought was going on?
Yeah, I mean, that's, if you were to ask me if I was going to go to a Jewish temple, that's what I would have expected.
But that's not what it is. They're being taught the religion of the elders. The same thing Jesus destroyed back in those days, right? Man, this computer's going crazy on me here. I dropped it the other day. Maybe that's why. Get out of there. There we are. Okay. Okay. What? Okay, Jared, let's do this. This is 90 seconds. And I want you to know that I'm not lying to you, okay? Jared, it's a third thing down, 90 seconds, talking about Orthodox Judaism today, okay? This is from a rabbi. It's 90 seconds, and he's going to explain pretty much what I just said. Go ahead and click on that, Jared. What is Orthodox Judaism? 90 seconds.
So, what is Judaism? According to every leading authority, Judaism are the belief and practices that either stem from either the written law or the oral law. In other words, the written law, the five books of Moses, is our foundation for what the Almighty expects us to believe and do. And within those five books is also sanctioned the existence of a court to guard and explain the laws within the five books. And this is what is known as the oral law or rabbinic law. Now, before we go any further, I must explain to you a few principles that you must learn to help you understand Judaism properly and how the halachic system works. And they are that, one, the Torah, the five books of Moses, has full authority to institute belief and practice in the life of every Jew. And two, that the oral or rabbinic law only has authority to establish practice and not belief, and only when it does not contradict the written law. And this is Judaism, my friend. In other words, everything a Jew believes and teaches and does has to stem from either the five books of Moses or the rulings of the great court, also known as the Sanhedrin. And friends, the vast majority of rabbis today, actually around 98% of them, do not base everything they believe, teach, or do on either of these sources.
Hey, Jared, play that last 30 seconds again. Now listen to this.
Has full authority to institute belief.
Pause that, Jared. Pause it. You're going to hear him say that 98% of rabbis today aren't teaching this. Okay? Listen to him say it. Go ahead.
And practice in the life of every Jew. And two, that the oral or rabbinic law only has authority to establish practice and not belief, and only when it does not contradict the written law. And this is Judaism, my friend. In other words, everything a Jew believes and teaches and does has to stem from either the five books of Moses or the rulings of the great court, also known as the Sanhedrin. And friends, the vast majority of rabbis today, actually around 98% of them, do not base everything they believe, teach, or do on either of these sources.
Wow, huh? Wow, there it is. Just told us exactly what is going on, and it's not what we think is going on. Why? Because Judaism has become a religion, and they study the Talmud, which is the religion of the elders. I'm not trying to overkill this. It's important for us to understand it. Judaism is a religion. It went from being a race of people to being a religion that every one of you could join. Cool? Comments, anybody? Okay, I'm going to show you another quick video here. Because hey guys, I'm walking this walk with you, okay? I'm walking this walk with you, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. I've got a clip down here, Jared, down to the bottom. It says, do Jews believe the Old Testament? Click on that. It's 5 minutes. Okay, hang on there. It's 5 minutes.
The average Jew believes that the Old Testament is a wonderful book of myths and stories that have good meaning. But you can understand the Old Testament only by studying the Talmud and the Kabbalah.
The Jews stopped believing in the Torah starting in Genesis chapter 1.
I believe creation was a design that's unending. Mm-hmm. Evolution is part of the process. And the beginning to me, you know, there are people who talk about the Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. I have no quarrel with them.
So you don't take the beginning of Genesis with the Garden of Eden and the serpent, you don't take that literally then?
No, to me, those are parables.
So when you look at the key teachings of the books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the Jews don't really believe any of these. Circumcision, I know, is a big part
of...
it's a big part of Judaism, I think. Am I right?
It is.
If an adult comes to me for a conversion and is not circumcised, then it's a very simple matter. You take the pin and just prick the... so that a drop of blood comes out, and that's enough.
It's more symbolic.
Right.
Just to represent the willingness to be able to be part of that covenant.
So they don't remove the full foreskin?
No.
Okay, they just do just a more of a symbolic...
Exactly.
Well, in the Torah, you know, Abraham was 99 when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13, right? But nowadays, they don't. Now, we as New Testament Christians don't practice circumcision. But the Jews, remember, are saying that they still follow that old Mosaic law. So if they were actually following it, they would have to actually remove the foreskin and circumcise that adult convert. That's what the Torah teaches.
I've heard it said so many times that, the Jews, they just believe the Old Testament. They believe everything we do just without Jesus. And that is a lie. They don't believe God. They don't believe Jesus Christ. They don't believe the Old Testament. They don't believe the New Testament. They don't believe any of it.
And how is it determined which is good and which is bad? And that's called civilization. People get together and determine you shouldn't steal. So civilization says that's bad. Okay, that's how you measure good. If you come from a society where stealing is good, that's how that civilization determines good.
Pause that, Jared.
If you don't...
Do you get what he's saying? That right and wrong is determined by civilization. By the way, we've got people sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States that agree the same thing. They agree that laws are ever changing. Not only were God's laws ever changing, so therefore America's laws are ever changing. It's a living, breathing constitution, right? You're hearing this come right out of this rabbi's mouth. This is what they believe. Go ahead, Jared.
Steal, you're bad. If you do steal, you're part of us.
Is there an absolute right and wrong where just stealing's always wrong because God said so?
There's no absolute, in my opinion.
It says in John 5, 46 and 47, for if ye had believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Jesus Christ is telling the Jews of his day that they did not believe Moses. Their whole claim was that they believe Moses and they don't believe him. But he explains here that if you don't believe in him, then you don't believe in Moses.
We practice differently, we believe differently, and maybe our approach is different, but the destination is the same. We're trying to reach God. I mean, that's the whole objective.
So do you believe that all religions are going to the same destination, just taking different routes to get there?
Exactly, and different ways to get there and different understandings of how they get there. That doesn't make one better than the other. There is no one path to God. There is no one understanding of God. To understand God, we have to understand each other. We have to understand ourselves.
There is no such thing as a salvation that transforms it. You do what is right and you save yourself at every moment. God is not in heaven. If when someone starts telling me that his soul is in heaven. What do they know about the soul, the spiritual soul of people in heaven? This is for children. You have to tell them this way. How come grandfather didn't come home today? Oh, he's in heaven.
What about hell? Is hell something that is part of Judaism or no? It being like a place of fiery punishment, for example.
I have been in hell. Mm. What we call hell is the Valley of Hinnom.
Tophet also, right?
There is a place right outside of Jerusalem that is called the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. Mm-hmm. It was a place where pagans used to offer human sacrifices. And by extrapolation somehow, they imagined that there was a place like that in the universe somewhere where wicked people would be going.
So you don't believe that the Old Testament teaches any kind of a literal hell?
No.
Okay, all right.
A lot of people will tell you the Bible says if you don't do something, you'll have a bad life, or you'll go to the nether world.
Hell.
Yeah, right. Well, right. We don't subscribe to hell anyway, but, you know, that kind of, my feeling is different.
If the Jews don't believe in the creation story of Genesis 1, they don't believe the story of Adam and Eve literally, they don't believe in Noah, they don't believe in the Tower of Babel, they scoff at these stories, they don't believe in circumcising adults, they don't believe in the animal sacrifice, what part of the Torah do they believe in? This is supposedly their most exalted book. Yet when you look at all the particulars of what the Torah teaches, they don't believe any of it.
Wow, huh? So we've been taught that we are, they're like our grandpas, right? Like they believe the same thing we believe. We just add Jesus to it. And we just heard that that's not true. It's not what comes out of a man, that what goes into man that defiles him, but what comes out of him. I don't think Jesus was specifically at that point talking about food or pork. I think he was talking about making a demonstration of a works type gospel. In other words, you can't be righteous enough. You can't eat the right foods. You can't do the right. There's not anything that you can do that's going to make you pure. Pure is going to come from the inside out. So I wanted to clarify that because it didn't set right with me when I said it at the beginning. Okay, time out. Is this what you thought our Jewish brothers and sisters believed? That they believed the Old Testament just like us, except they just didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. Somebody's got a thought.
No, absolutely. You know, one is, there's a lot of pastors who maybe wouldn't say this bluntly, but they're thinking the same thing. And secondly, there's a lot of scripture where God came out and just straight up rebuked people like that, and it puts it into kind of a different light when you see Hebrews saying that, you know?
Right, right. And Dylan, if they don't receive Jesus, brother, they're lost, right? I mean, let's tell the truth here. There's nothing special about those guys that we just listened to because they happen to be Jewish rabbis. That does not make them special. God is no respecter of person. Lindell, you were going to try to say something.
Oh, I was going to say absolutely not. It's not what I thought. But yeah, we've all been taught that there's like a special path for the Jew or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that just is not so.
They were special at one time, right? They were special because right. It was God's chosen people, and he chose that lineage to get the perfect seed through. But what can we say happened in 70 AD when he destroyed the temple? And he said, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. I'm tired of this religious system. Jesus came to destroy this religious system. And what do we see going on in America today, in the world today? A rebuilding of a religious system. In fact, I'll be careful what I say. I probably shouldn't let that one out of the bag. Okay. Am I making anybody nervous yet? Nope. Because until our eyes are open and we understand, I'm going to say this again very, very slowly. Jews need Jesus. Okay? Jews need Jesus. Americans need Jesus. Muslims need Jesus. Pagans need Jesus. Tree huggers need Jesus. Some Baptists need Jesus. Some Methodists need Jesus. That without Jesus, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. So that tells me that if you deny Jesus, I don't care how religious you are not of the family of God. Does anybody disagree with that? So therefore, God not being a respecter of persons, nobody's special, more special than anybody else in his eyes. Because of that, if you haven't received Jesus, you are not of the family of God. And as we saw yesterday, much of the Judaism that we see being practiced, because it is a religion, it's no longer a race, because of the Judaism we see practiced in America today, it is not Old Testament Torah, but rather the Talmud. Okay? What is this one here? I got so many things over here. Let's put up my buddy, Brother Nathaniel. It's 5 minutes, I think it is, Jared, down at the bottom. Brother Nathaniel. Many, I've played some of his videos before. Brother Nathaniel was born into a Jewish family. He's now a Christian. Hey, here's a good question. Hey, Rich, are you still a Jew if you become a Christian? If Judaism is not a race, how about this? Now, I can't know how to make the illustration. I don't even know how to make the illustration. I'll get it here in a minute. Jared, go ahead and play this. This is Brother Nathaniel.
Is the answer.
What? No. Right. If I marry a girl from Japan, I don't quit being an American, right? If I marry a black woman, I don't quit being white, right? If I move into a black neighborhood, I don't quit being white. So if Judaism is a race, you can't stop being a Jew. And if Judaism is a race, somebody from outside can't come in. Yes or no? Yes. So Judaism is a religion based primarily on the religion of the elders. So here's Brother Nathaniel, born a Jew. I don't know if it's a bloodline Jew, probably born into a Jewish family, and was a follower of Judaism, but now follows Jesus. Is he still a Jew? See, that's my problem I have when people call themselves Messianic Jews. Judaism is a religion, not a race anymore. Go ahead and play Brother Nathaniel.
Does Judaism, as it is practiced today, have anything to do with the patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament? Nothing. Nothing at all. You see, I was raised in Judaism, and we were under the authority of the rabbis whose formulation of God and the world around us was based not on the Bible, but on the Jewish Talmud. Indeed, the rabbinic authority gave the first and final word on Jewish attitudes, Jewish belief, Jewish practice, and Jewish behavior toward the Gentiles, whom behind closed doors we called the Goyim. The rabbis put attitude before everything else, that we Jews were superior to the Gentiles in intellect, in morality, and as a race. And this is all spelled out quite specifically in the Jewish Talmud. The Talmud began as an oral law prevalent at the time of Christ, and it was Jesus Christ himself who accused the Jewish leaders of his day of usurping the message of the patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament by this oral law, which Christ labeled the tradition of the elders. Enraged by Christ's censure, the Jewish elders arranged for Jesus Christ to be crucified, and ignoring the significance of his resurrection, committed their tradition to writing, which reached its final form in 800 AD in the multi-volume set known as the Talmud. The Talmud, okay, first and foremost, blasphemes the Lord Jesus Christ, calling him a magician who is now in hell, boiling in his own excrement. The Talmud also blasphemes Christ's Holy Mother, the Virgin Mary, calling her a hairdresser, a prostitute who had sex with carpenters. Then the Talmud spews its venom on the Gentiles to be treated less than subhumans, defrauded, cheated, and even murdered as civilians in times of war, though they be innocent women and children. Thus we find world Jewry condoning the atrocities committed against the people of the Gaza Strip by the Israelis. Why? Because, as historian Israel Shehak points out in his book, Jewish Religion, Jewish History, Jewry's disparaging attitude toward the Gentiles has been formed, set in stone, throughout the centuries by the writings of the Jewish Talmud. Indeed, the Talmud, formative of Judaism since the time of Christ, is nothing less than a religion of a tribal crime syndicate. The true followers of the patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament are those who have embraced the hopes and predictions of those holy men, realized and fulfilled in the New Testament. As a former Jew, now an Orthodox Christian, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you?
Sarge put over there, he could get rid of some of those things hanging around his neck a little bit, but there's a guy from inside, Inside Out telling us. So what's the point I'm trying to make? Tim sent me a text message. Tim says, we are as broken or as sick as the Jew in some of our churches. Boy, is that ever the truth. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. I'm not making this an attack on Judaism. I'm trying to show all of us how we have all become prisoners to a religion. If you think about it, how many people do you come across a day who are churchgoers who you know are lost? They're lost. They're followers of a religious system without the fire of the Holy Spirit with inside of them. So the point that I'm trying to make is not so much about Judaism, but about this Pharisaical spirit that you see even in Americans' churches. Somebody jump in here real quick.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I'd be interested, and it's not a disagreement with anything you're saying, but I'd be interested too. I mean, a lot of people would make similar arguments to the Catholic Church.
Well,
I guess I would just be, I'd just kind of be interested in your thoughts on that as well. Just because I know I've heard similar things from other people, you know.
Okay, rephrase that again, Dylan. Maybe I didn't hear the beginning that you said. Say that again, please.
Just that, you know, a lot of people would make similar arguments to Catholicism. Okay. Like a really,
I was raised Catholic.
Yeah,
I'm
curious your thoughts, because I've heard similar arguments
about Catholicism. Well, I know this, and if our Catholic friends are out there, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I was raised Catholic, and to my knowledge, never, ever introduced or spoken, had the Bible spoken to me. Never, ever, ever. I went to catechism, and I was taught the catechism of the church, the rules and the regulations of the church, and how a good Catholic behaves. But I was never encouraged to read the scriptures for myself, ever. And so Catholicism, for me at that point, was more about trying to raise me to be moral and follow rules, and that the only way I was going to get to heaven was through the church, by being part of the church. So in that aspect of it, Dylan, Catholicism mirrors or mimics Judaism, in that it's a set of religious rules and precepts that the higher's up tell you to follow. That's what I see, and that's what the Reformation was about. They call it a Protestant Reformation, or what they call it. Well, we're Protestants. We're Protestant, right? That broke away from that religious system. But unfortunately, we see that same, as is the nature of man, that same religious system to be built up again. Baptists have a religious hierarchy. Methodists have a religious hierarchy. Church of God have a religious hierarchy. Every time it gets down, Jesus wanted to have a relationship. Christianity was a relationship, and men always want to take that relationship and create an organization out of it. And so, Dylan, some things we've learned and some things we haven't learned, and we've fallen right back into the same old trap. And what we're going to see happen, according to the book of Revelation, they're going to come back and they're going to rebuild that old stinking temple. They're going to go back in there and they're going to rebuild that. And Jesus, God's going to say, oh my goodness, what are they doing? That's the way I see it. Maybe somebody can clarify it better than me.
Coach, I think you're doing great. Using the example of the original group of God's chosen, et cetera, whatever, and showing how that morphed or evolved, if you want to use that word, into something totally contrary to what it started. And then Dylan's comment that, you know, the Catholics could be put, and then you saying all of them have done that. All of them have gone down this path of evolution. And I've said for decades now that I know a lot of Christians who go to maybe a Methodist church or even a Catholic church or Presbyterian or Baptist or whatever, but I know not a single Baptist that is a Christian. I know not a single Methodist that is a Christian. Because, see, Jesus said, what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And if, when people describing their relationship to God, if the first thing out of their mouth is their denominational tag, that denomination means more to them than their relationship to God.
Amen, brother. Amen. It's a high. We've been programmed to believe that. Okay, Tim, I'm sorry to wake you. I got Tim Tuber on the air here out there in Colorado, out in Oregon, because he just sent me a text. Hey, Tim, we're talking about that religious system, that religious edifice. You were part of a religious system, were you not, Tim? What happened there?
Well, I was part of the Four Square Church, and I had a couple of buddies that were in leadership, part of the supervisors of the districts, and I had a run-in with them about finances, and ended up going to the courts. Instead of working it out brother to brother, according to the scriptures say, we had to go to courts and work it out in the public court, and it turned out that those two guys did not tell the truth, and it was found out on the court, in court, that they had lied.
So, Tim, their whole purpose was to, dare I say this, was to protect the company brand. Is that right?
Exactly, yes. And then because of the truth that came out in the lower courts, they said that we need to, because we lost the lawsuit and went against us, we need to have this thrown out underneath the church and state.
Mm.
So I went to the Oregon Appellate Court, I won. Oregon Supreme Court, and I won. Then it went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I won the U.S. Supreme Court.
So, awesome. Point I'm making, Tim, is what starts out as a local church eventually becomes a denomination. And then you fall under the rules and regulation of a group of men. Yes or no?
That is correct.
Okay, man. Thanks, Tim.
A group of men are like four developers.
And they protect the company brand. Go back to sleep. Thanks, Tim.
Correct.
So guys, I guess one of the things I'm trying to show you is we see that religious system that Jesus tore down, we still honor, calling it Judaism. We still honor that as part of our lineage. And then in the Reformation, it comes and we still mimic that same religious system. And most religion is nothing except bondage, in my humble opinion. Somebody jump in. I've stepped all in it and through it today. It's going to be all over me all day. Somebody try to save me. I'm already saved. Somebody try to save me on this program, if you can. Nobody?
Dave, I think it's dead on. I don't know. I don't see why anybody even shies away from it. It is what it is.
It is what it is. And we're going to dig into it more as we go on here in the next couple of days. And I don't want to get bogged down on a teaching series, but I think we're into something. We just have to, guys. If we're gonna be able to be what the Lord wants us to be, we can't be afraid to look at the history and understand the truth and walk in the fullness of the truth. We can't say that we love truth and keep stuff buried or keep promoting stuff that just is not true. That's where I'm coming from on it. Okay.
Coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Sarge.
And I think it's important to understand that foundational aspect, because the Bible makes it very clear that the false doctrine is going to be out to deceive many. And, you know, we look at what's going on in the world, whether it's the gay marriage, the erosion of the family, the LGBT community, the prosperity gospel, all of that stuff. If that is not the false doctrine, then what is?
Sarge, I'm with you. And think about this, Sarge. What religious sect right now is the most liberal of all of them? Well, you got the Episcopals. They're pretty liberal. You've got the Methodists have become pretty liberal. Are either one of those, Sarge, either one of them as liberal as Judaism? Judaism, those who keep to Judaism, they vote about 80% Democrat. Pro-abortion, they don't care about marriage, all that stuff, right? How can that be? How can you be? See, folks, come on here. How can we be combined with Judeo-Christianity when Christianity vote conservative biblical values and the followers of Judaism don't? What's that all about? See, I think it's part of the deception. We don't understand the roots of our faith, and we don't understand what has happened over the centuries to what was once a race of people called the Jews to a religious people called Judaism, following Judaism. Man, help me, Sarge.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How many of the founding fathers were Jews?
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that. It was like 1% of one, only one. I'm going to study that, Sarge. That's a good question. 1% were Catholics even. They didn't even let Catholics in at one point. So, oh boy, I'm all over today. You with me, guys? You understand what we're trying to do here? You understand what's going on? We're believing a lie. We don't know who Israel is. We don't know who the Jews are. Judeo-Christian, we don't even know what that means. We don't know what the religion of the elders is. We don't know what the Talmud is. We don't know what the Torah is. We don't have any idea what's being taught in the religion of Judaism. Yet we say that we're connected to that. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
I would propose the question also in terms of this and that. The sentence that's used quite regularly, that our country was set up upon Judaic Christian morality, if you go back and really study the founding fathers, I bet you're going to find that it was a Christian-based founding, not a Judaic-based founding, because the only relationship
Having
that is the Old Testament. But the point you've already made is, if they're not following the Old Testament, which is clearly they are not, because Jesus Christ is written all over the Old Testament, they don't believe it.
Well, Sarge, not only that, you ready? The only way a follower of Judaism is going to get to heaven is if they become a Christian. That's the only way. They ain't getting to heaven as a Jew. You don't get to heaven as a Baptist. You don't get to heaven as a Methodist. You get to heaven as a Christian. You've received Jesus Christ and the propitiation of his blood for your sins. You receive him as your Lord and Savior, and then you are adopted into the family. It doesn't matter what family you came out of. It matters what family you end up in. Oh, my goodness. We've poked some pigs this morning. And I want to throw this disclaimer out there. I'm walking through this on my own. No, I'm not a theologian, haven't been to seminary. I'm walking through it alone. Together, and the counsel of many is wisdom. Appreciate y'all being with us. Do some research on your own. I pray that we've incited something inside of you that's going to make you, on your own, dig into this truth and allow the Holy Spirit to lead all of us into all truth. God bless you. See you tomorrow.